This is Morning Edition from NPR News. With Steve Inskeep, I'm Renee Montaigne. Russia's Sakhalin Island is in the midst of an oil boom. Billions of dollars invested by international companies are transforming what was once an economic backwater. Apartment rents and food prices on the island are some of the highest in Russia. The Sakhalin boom has attracted veterans of Alaska's oil boom back in the 1970s and 80s. But frustration is growing among some entrepreneurs and among those locals who have not benefited from the oil rush. NPR's Lawrence Sheets reports from Sakhalin Island.
When Sakhalin Island was open to foreign fortune seekers in the early 1990s, Angelo Belizzi left his life in Alaska behind.
Most of the people that came here the first time were from Alaska. And there's that pioneer spirit, and there's the entrepreneurism. And today, I can't see anywhere else in the world that's more exciting than working here right now.
Belizzi and his Russian partner have built up a multi-million dollar holding company called Sfera. Sfera's bulldozers and earth movers are a common sight around the island. The company's built American-style subdivisions for expatriate workers, banks, and new office buildings where there were once crumbling Soviet blocks.
It's a difficult place to work from the standpoint that it's not to Western standards at this time. But year after year, we see things improving. And one thing that we've tried to do is create our own environment. If we can't find a good health club, we build a good health club. If we can't find an excellent hotel, or if there's not enough hotel space, we build the hotel spaces.
Investors here say it helps to have good contacts with the local government. Belizzi's partner, company president Andrei Zalpin, describes his previous occupation.
I was a member of the Communist Party before, and I was the chief of industrial department of the Communist Party of Yuzhno-Sakhalinsk.
Here at the hip Mishka Bar, also owned by the former communist functionary Zalpin, a crowd of well-heeled locals and expats imbibe top-shelf whiskeys and the latest European designer brews. Another former Alaskan, Bill McDonald, runs an oil drilling services company on Sakhalin. McDonald says government connections, what Russians refer to as a krisha, or roof, are imperative here.
We have a Russian partner here, and he is affiliated with the local administration and the government, and that kind of exempts us from any contact from the local mafia entities. So we have our own roof, and it's something that you have to have.
McDonald says local officials are always looking for ways to shake down foreign companies working on Sakhalin. Russian companies, he says, are allowed much more leeway.
The double standards are extreme. We have to comply with every niche, every stipulation, every mandate that's known to the Russian regulatory system. And the Russian company, they don't have to comply. It's a very serious double standard, and it's very costly. But that's the price to do business here.
Jeff Volker of the American Business Center on Sakhalin says capricious regulations have made Sakhalin seem less attractive to investors.
Investment horizons are shrinking. Before people came to Sakhalin and they looked at it as a long-term investment, 10 to 15 years at least, now I'm seeing more and more companies very concerned about putting even the smallest amount of money into Sakhalin.
Despite the problems, there's been a palpable change since foreign companies began pumping billions of dollars into their oil and gas projects here. So many people now have cars that Sakhalin's once empty, potholed roads have been taken over by traffic jams. Tamara Shcherbakova was trained as a construction engineer, but she couldn't find a job in the industry for 10 years. Now she's been hired by a firm which makes prefab buildings.
You can't say people have gotten rich, but jobs have appeared. Many people have started making a living since the oil projects began.
But others have not done so well. Lyudmila Startseva, a former math teacher, is now forced to hawk cheap Chinese socks at a local bazaar to make ends meet.
People who are connected to the oil deals are doing well. Those, like me, are just as poor as we were.
Oil services man Bill McDonald says he believes corruption keeps the Sakhalin boom money from trickling down to average folks like Lyudmila.
In Alaska, the money actually went to the people, and they're still benefiting from it, from dividends and things like that, from the oil. Here, it just goes to the Moscow black hole. And, workers aren't being paid, but the boss got a new Land Cruiser.
McDonald says he feels an increasing animosity from locals who've seen no benefits from the oil boom.
Oh, yeah, every day, just in everyday living, just in attitudes. And man, I've been here 5 years, just in perception. You can feel people, you understand the situations, you can read between the lines. It's not brought out, right, said, but it's blatantly clear, yeah, resentment.
A recent article in a Sauklin newspaper showed a sketch of Uncle Sam next to a copy of Mein Kampf. The headline read, "Who's the higher race on Sakhalin?" It was an obvious reference to the relatively rich foreigners and well-connected Russians who've struck it rich, and the majority of people here who are still struggling. Lawrence Sheets, NPR News, on Russia's Sakhalin Island.